This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio from the great Remarkable Results Radio. So glad you're here. I've always reached out and say, if you got an idea for an episode, please email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz. Love to hear from you. We've got a great show today. We're going to talk about training, but a different kind of training, and hopefully the kind of training that you're involved with in the company's Today's Class. We have not only the CEO of Today's Class, but we have a top shop operator who uses it and is finding great benefit from it. But before we get started, thank you so much to our sponsors. You know, Napa Trax, they've got local representatives to optimize your SMS, and you get daily training for your entire team. And Today's Class, David Boies is with us. It's a quick way to spot gaps and grow stronger teams. Kukui is here. Great industry-leading customer support with Kukui and Pit Crew Loyalty. Turn first visits into lasting, reliable revenue. Hey, for over 30 years, Napa Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, how well does your team know their stuff? Test their automotive skills with the Today's Class Basic, Advanced, or Service Advisor quizzes. It's a quick, effective way to spot gaps and grow stronger teams. Take the quizzes now at todaysclass.com/TC quiz. Shop owners, stop juggling multiple marketing tools. Kukui's integrated platform, they deliver 4 times better website conversions, automated follow-up, and real-time ROI tracking. Get industry-leading customer support with Kukui. That's KUKUI.com. You're probably tired of chasing new customers who never return. We understand. Pit Crew Loyalty ends the one-and-done cycle, turning first visits into lasting, reliable revenue. On the web at pitcrewloyalty.com. Hey, welcome back. Let me introduce my great panel. I have to tell you something, everyone. Talk about daily training. Hell, I don't even want to send my people to training once a year. And you imagine someone making a commitment to daily training? And we want to talk about the benefits of this. David Boies is with us, the CEO of Today's Class. Hello, David.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
David, thanks so much. And thanks for your incredible sponsorship of this podcast. It's like every 2 months, you're doing something new and brand new and exciting and different. You are now a Napa partner. You're doing some really cool stuff there, I keep hearing. You're doing cool stuff with ASE and Dave Johnson. When do you sleep?
Well, we got to make time for it here and there. So, but it's fun to continue to push and come up with new ideas, more coming, some announcements in early 2026. But, it's an exciting time to do what we're doing.
Good for you. Glad you're here. And thank you for asking Lola to come on in. Or Laura Lee Schmidt. We all know her as Lola Schmidt from Schmidt's Auto Care, Springboro, Ohio. Hi, Lola.
Hi. Hey, nice to see you again.
Shop with husband Eric, and Lola is going to be doing 2 training classes at Apex this year. I'm not sure if this episode will go out before or after Apex, but if you're going and you've checked the box to see Lola, she's doing The Power of Processes and The Business of Branding. You're good at both of those.
Thank you. I feel very passionate about them.
Yeah, I've seen you do The Power of Branding. It's really good stuff. Well, look, so David, let's talk about gaming a little bit as to how you can actually literally take Today's Class, get it in front of your people, let them start scoring themselves and learning themselves and engaging themselves, and then seeing the great dashboard and being and publish how we are doing, and then get some awards going. So you have done some statistics. I believe you've pulled them from Lola's account, and I find what you've sent me so fascinating. And you and Lola kind of talk about how it's benefited you and David, how you see those stats helping her out.
Yeah. So what I can share is a little bit of background on us for those that aren't familiar. The way that we deliver training is through 3 to 5 minute daily training sessions, typically delivered to a mobile device. So the idea is to make it very convenient, but also personalized over time. As learners engage with the training, whether you're following an ATEC path or a service advisor path, system will learn a bit about you and start pushing you training in areas where you need it. As you do that, though, you can earn points, earn badges, and so forth. And a lot of times that opens doors for some different engagement tools, such as Lola's leverage with her team. Sometimes those additional layers to the experience really help a team kind of come together, communicate, collaborate. It just adds a little different dimension to their learning experience. There's a lot I can learn one-on-one with an app. However, if I see something that trips me up and then I talk to you two about it, that really enhances that memory that I'm going to develop related to that aspect. So that's really at the core of what we're doing, you know, day by day.
Do you find it benefiting you and your team, Lola? I guess one of the things this is really cool. I like this. But the reason you're here, Lola, is I want to hear from what your people are telling you.
Yeah, I actually have my managers go back and talk to them this week to get some sound bites from them on how they felt about it. And all of them love the fact that it's short form learning and they don't have to sit and like listen to something for half hour to an hour. They can get in, they can get out of the training very quickly. They are a competitive group within themselves. So for them, they're so blown away by the gamification. They love it. That is what is talked about the most in my shop is like, who's winning? Who has the most questions? Who has the most answers? Who's correct? Because they get rewarded. So they love that. One of them actually said they wouldn't have done it if we hadn't kept enforcing it every day and saying, you know, are you doing this? Are you doing this? But now that they have been doing it, they see the benefit and they actually are learning things like, now he's very confident what a purge valve is. That was his exact example. So they are learning. And so we can see the metrics. And that is so, so exciting for me because then that shows there's value, right? So my team's jazzed.
I have a question. Is there anyone that may feel so embarrassed to play in that arena and not be doing well, or are they encouraged?
That varies. I'll kind of share what we see globally a little bit. I'd love to hear your perspective. So the way that the experience works, it's private, but my coworkers can't see if I'm doing really well or really struggling with a particular concept or area. What they do see is the points that I've earned. However, points, the primary lever for earning points is being consistent with your daily training. This isn't intended to be a test or something like that where you're only rewarded for showing you're right. We want you to learn. And the algorithm is designed such that it's going to find where you need help. You're going to get stuff wrong. So as long as you're consistent with it, you'll be competitive and with your peers. That said, the data about where you need more help is visible to your managers. And we think that's very important to enable opportunities for coaching and so forth. So for example, if Lola can see that I don't understand what a purge valve is, she can review that. She can pull me aside and say, hey, look, I can now see that you're struggling with this. Why don't we run through this together? Why don't I pair you up with Carm, who's really strong in this? And it really starts to bring down that barrier because now you have some visibility to what's going on, you know, with somebody's knowledge.
We can be sarcastic in this industry just a little bit, you know, and play grab ass with good and bad stuff. And I love the idea that they just see the points, but I am sure every once in a while people say, hey, I got this. I didn't think I'd get this right. And I got this right. And then everybody opens up to each other. And I'm sure, Lola, that's what's going on, how people are finding out how each others are doing, even though the points are in general, right, David? The points are in general. And what I find that could be fascinating, Lola, please help me with this. To David's point about the encouragement, is that happening at your place?
Oh, yeah. My team likes to see everybody win. So it's the first thing they do in the morning. They go to their morning huddles and then they break to their toolboxes and they do their today's class training. That's the way our morning rolls. So they have immediate conversations almost right after it with each other. The question, I'm assuming my team must have like leveled up in hardness on questions over the last like week and a half because they're all went to the foreman to blame him for leveling their questions up. So that's been like a content. Did you make my questions harder? That's been like a conversation, but they do have these smarter conversations now more focused conversations, and they help each other too. Like if someone is struggling, they're like, hey, well, this is what I thought about it. And, or did you read the module? I'm hearing like more of that. Did you check out the module? So they're even doing more than just looking at the initial questions. They're going above and beyond for like the modules, the extra videos, all the extra stuff too, encouraging each other. They all still want to very independently win. So if you get questions wrong, they also will make fun of you, but in a loving way.
Wait a minute. That's just too perfect. That is just, whoa, in a loving way. David, I don't remember if it was you or Lola just a few minutes ago said the word enforcing. It hit me. Lola, what are you doing? I don't mean to be an enforcer, but the encouragement of enforcing that it happens. I mean, I think I just heard you say it's part of the daily routine.
Yeah, it's just the standard.
It's the standard. It's what we do. We have our huddle. We do today's class.
It's just the day.
And if you don't, you're square. You're out.
Oh, yeah. Everybody kind of follows in line. The odd man out, it doesn't work well at our shop. Like they will just weed themselves right out to the curb. Everybody, I have exceptional people, I will say. We talked about this yesterday. If we had had a prior team, this would not be the same scenario. We worked really hard on the hiring this time, and we have educational processes in place that we hold true to, and it's just the standard. It's the expectation.
We know as insiders in this industry a secret that only the top shop operators know, and that is we have to be a perpetual student, period. Nothing more, nothing less. Forever learning. And I don't think there's any better way than with today's class. If you will, it's like a drip and you don't really realize you're taking a bath, but you are. Right, David?
That's part of what we try to articulate early on when working with a shop is, you know, you don't know what you don't know. You're going to struggle to absorb a lot of information at once. You're going to forget stuff. Things change. So it's very difficult, given all of those factors, to, you know, plug that gap with, you know, an hour of training a year or something. It's a moving target. So we believe it requires a dynamic solution to that problem, one that's going to grow with you, grow with the industry, challenge you as your memory maybe fades over time, or maybe you haven't done any AC work since it's been cold and now it's time to freshen that back up. So again, being dynamic, we think it is critical. Our memories, our knowledge, again, they're all moving. So we need something that will keep up with them from our view.
What I find so interesting and powerful about today's class, I think we as creatures in modern society today, in the 3-second attention span, the amount of incoming that we can absorb or see on a daily basis, today's class is so perfect for it because that's how it comes to you in small little chunks. It is not like, oh, I got to go to another lunch and learn. Not that they're bad. Trust me. And not that, you know, getting in front of an instructor at Apex or all of our great venues isn't important for maybe a hands-on for a couple of hours and immersion. But it's almost like, David, again, I'd love to have been in your think tank a few years back when you started to do this and says, we need something real tiny and brilliant. That seems to be what it is.
And again, the data leads to other things, you know, so we can use data on our side. The algorithm is using that to figure out what training you should get today based on where we're trying to drive you and where you need help and what you need to be refreshed on. But we can also look at that data, for example, across Lola's shop. She wants to bring in a specialized trainer. We can run some reporting very easily, say, okay, here are 3 or 4 things that really stand out. Or you want to send a technician to Vision or ASTA or something like that, here are some things that they could really benefit from. So we're doing a lot of that from the shop level and also starting to work with training groups as well to be able to say, well, hey, what if we put together a really consistent class for you where you don't have to worry about somebody being an ATEC and somebody being an apprentice level? We'll give you a sweet spot of an audience that's right there, and we can share with you where this audience seems to be really thriving and where they could use some work. And we know instructors tend to really like that as well, because that way they can really focus and dial in and kind of see their audience light up because they know it's resonating with where they truly need to develop.
It's brilliant. If you manage it as a leader of the business and or a manager, CEO, take this data, realize what's coming up, Apex Vision, all these that we have, look over what the training schedule is and pair it up with what today's class data gives you.
My foreman reports to me every single month about what learning opportunities are. And we actually talked about who's going to go to what trainings next year and whatever's left for the end of this year. And over these last couple of weeks where we have been a little bit slower in business, we have taken that those findings, and that's what he's been able to train on hands-on in the shop, like set a car up for XYZ so we can educate on that. So for us, this has really expanded beyond those 3 to 5 minutes that they do each day. It's just almost like an instilled in the shop, just like Techmetric or our app or anything else at this point.
I love that. It's instilled. It's installed. It's part of your fabric. Listen, culture is about behaviors. And if the behavior is there, then it is part of your culture. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Hey, Carm here, suggesting you discover a smarter way to train your entire automotive team. Experience powerful, bite-sized training sessions accessible from any device in just 5 minutes daily. It's perfect for technicians, advisors, and managers alike. Today's class prepares your shop for sustained success by reinforcing crucial knowledge. Plus, add a competitive edge with our leaderboard to make learning fun and rewarding for everyone. For effective training that delivers, turn to todaysclass.com. Shop owners, we know you are overwhelmed with a flood of missed calls, empty bays, and disconnected marketing tools. Kukui has spent over a decade building one integrated platform for auto repair shops, one login, one dashboard, and mobile-first websites that convert 4 times industry average. Smart, innovative CRM with automated follow-up, 24/7 online booking, and real-time ROI tracking. With 900-plus years of combined team experience, we fuel the growth of 2,200-plus shops and have influenced $3 billion in revenue. Stop working harder. Start working smarter. Get industry-leading customer support and book a demo with Kukui. That's KUKUI.com. You know, most shop owners feel trapped, spending on ads while half their first-time customers never come back. It's frustrating. It's exhausting. And it's not your fault. The industry average is 54% one and dones. We understand how discouraging that can be. Well, Pit Crew Loyalty changes the story. Our clients cut that rate by up to 38%, raising lifetime value by more than 50%. Loyalty members visit nearly 3 times more often, creating predictable revenue without extra ad spend. Pit Crew Loyalty, where customers stay and shops thrive. On the web at pitcrewloyalty.com. David, you sent me some great stats for Lola's Place. Let's kind of cover a few of those and give our audience a taste of what's going on there.
Yeah. So what these stats are really about is what we try to deliver is meaningful impact, but without disrupting the operation. So as Lola said, they've really done an excellent job of driving this into the day-to-day of their shop. You know, since it's starting, you know, several months ago, we've delivered, you know, many, many hours of training to this group in just small bursts of time, which again, I'd have to defer to Lola to say whether that's, you know, disrupting shop operations, but given this 3 to 5 minute burst per day and how she explained that they kind of weave that in to the startup of the day, that's where we're able to make those gains. You know, on average, her team is training almost 20 days per month. So think about that in terms of the impact you can make on anything you're trying to get better at. You invest a few minutes a day on that consistently, 20 days per month. that's going to add up over time. Now, we'll get into the weeds in terms of knowledge growth metrics. I've got some up to the side here. So, you know, significant growth in brake power assist systems, refrigeration system, wheel alignment, where we're north of 10%, you know, in those metrics. We've seen discretionary training time be pretty significant. 17 hours of additional time that her group has done since June, you know, diving into that. And again, we think that's pretty compelling because in the traditional online world, what we've observed over time is it's less common that somebody's going to say, oh, today I'm going to go take a course. In our world where we're prompting them, nudging them forward, and maybe revealing to them that they need a little more work, or to Lola's point, a shop foreman is looking at some of the data and pointing out, hey, you need to get better here. Often that just sets the stage where somebody says, you know what? I will go take a look at this because now I've got a reason to do so. And if it's convenient and in the app and very easy to do, all the better.
Don't get today's class because your buddy down the road has it or your buddy in another city has it. If you're not going to manage it, you're not going to listen to it, look at it, share it, engage with it, then you've just checked the box for no reason.
We say that a lot. We try to be very careful, probably to a fault in some cases, what we've heard from some of our customers in terms of just setting expectations, because you're right. This can check the box, but you can really get a lot of value of it if you apply it. You know, with Lola's talk on process, I mean, this is a very process-focused solution. We can aim it at a variety of different targets. If you leverage the data, use the engagement tools, use it for reviews with your employees and so forth, there's a lot it can do. If your hope is, well, hey, this just is an easy thing where my team will train and I can feel good that I'm providing them training and that's it. I mean, that can work, but you're not maximizing the value out of it in that case. And typically in those situations, we won't see the type of engagement that Lola's team sees. We'll see, you know, half the team maybe doing it some of the time because there's not really a compelling business argument or relationship to the rest of what the team is doing.
Lola, let me ask you a question about that 17 hours that David talked about in discretionary learning. What do you think motivated them to do that?
I wish I had a golden answer. I just really have good people.
That's not a bad answer.
I did not ask them to go and do this on their time off. I'm a 4-day work week shop. They all still do this on Friday morning. I don't ask them to. I had a girl go on vacation to Alaska and would still do it every morning. And I was like, you enjoy the mountains. They are competitive with themselves. So they want to level up themselves. They're professionals. And I think if you hire in professionals, you get professional behavior, right? And this is what that looks like.
I feel good about that answer. But can you turn it into a number like comebacks? Efficiency in the bays or per individual, per specialist. I can't imagine that your company isn't growing or finding so much fruit from that vine. I guess your company's got to be better because of this.
It's one thing to do training, right? But we have people that actually go and implement what they learn. And so that makes a big difference. So there's where it's short chunks, like a lot of times they have opportunities to implement that education like that day of, and it's very tailored to them. So that can continue the growth, which obviously does cut down on things like comebacks and whatnot. But we also have a lot of processes in place to protect that as well. There's just value on a lot of levels here with this. But I do think taking the and putting it into implementation immediately is really important for any education. That's why we're good at that, I think.
So I just hired a superstar unicorn and he just joined our team. Yeah, okay, this is movie-like. Okay. And he just joined our team and he's now there and everybody says, oh, wait, you got to get signed up for today's class, blah, 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 blah. And Lola finds out. This person needs a lot of work or a lot of training or there's some lack thereof. And I guess what an assessment this can be.
Well, and we do that. We do have a capability where in the hiring process, we have that happen. We use the same content that we use for training, but we can essentially flip it around. It's something that we've kind of slowly been rolling out. We're going to make a big push for this in 2026 and really kind of formalize it, for lack of a better term. But we've had really good feedback from shops that have done this, whether it is helping to confirm that, hey, this person told me they're terrific. And yeah, now I can see it. And now I can feel very, very comfortable providing them that offer of employment. On the other hand, we've heard the opposite of the spectrum too, where it's, hey, this person said they were a rock star, but this data doesn't quite line up. And not that somebody would be dismissed based on that alone, but what we do is surface up data where you can say in a follow-up interview, hey, let's dig into some of this electrical content a bit here, because I can see four questions here related to charging systems that you answered incorrectly. You said you had high confidence in, but yet you got them all wrong. You know, so give me a little more context on your experience working with these types of systems. And again, that can often, you know, just open that discussion thread a little bit so that the hiring manager can just get more context. So yeah, the data can be used in a variety of ways. And the new hire capability is one that we're seeing shops use more and more.
Ever use that, Lola?
I didn't. My team was in place when we brought this in.
Okay.
But I absolutely will. Like, this will be something I utilize for sure.
I'm sure you will. You know, I love the medical field, you know, in contrast to who we are and what we do. And I was just thinking as you were talking, David, about, so how's your cholesterol? Oh, it's great. It's perfect. And then they come to work for you and you say, oh, by the way, we have to send you for a blood test. And it comes back and it's bad. And so that helps you understand how bad this person wanted to come and work for you to get in the door because they love your place, they respect your place, and now you have to get them to eat better or learn better.
Well, I think that example is useful. I haven't used that one ever. We talk about sports a lot and understanding, you know, for a particular athlete, whether it's baseball and they can hit a curveball or they can't, that sort of stuff. But I would argue there's a lot of value to understanding where your team is really strong and where they need help so that you can coach them, give them work where they're going to thrive. And in the absence of that data, how are you going to know? There are indicators, whether it's years of experience, ASC certifications, and so forth, but there's not a lot of great tools out there to get very granular in terms of what they know. And that's what we're trying to push for, to really pinpoint that, yeah, you're pretty good in electrical, but 80% may not be good enough. I'd like to find those few things where we can turn that 80% to 90 to 95 and so forth. But you need to have that level of visibility to pursue those things and close those gaps.
Wow. Well, let's level up, team. Look at, we're the best diag shop in 30 miles. Let's make sure we are.
It's actually some of my like top performers. It's interesting when they get a question wrong and they're so, so confident. It's wrong. And they do learn and they're humbled and they can put that new answer in and they're like, okay, so I don't know everything, right? I've got my main guy right now. He's got the same question wrong every single time. And like, he's like about to jump through a window. Once he gets it right, he will never forget this answer.
You know, we all have mental blocks, David.
Yeah. And that's a reality of this type of training as well. If there's a common complaint about the way we deliver training, it's what Lola just described. We're very persistent. You know, if there is something that you struggle with, we're going to come after you on it and work with you on it. The reason is that you're getting that training because your boss or your manager has prioritized that content. And the system has detected that you don't know it very well. So in our view, we need to come after that. And we're not going to hit you with it every day. Might be this week and it might be next week, but we're not going to forget. Again, as I said a minute ago, in our view, like 80% is nice, but we want to find those things that you know, level you up, get you better. And in many cases, I have them too, questions that always trip me up. But that's where surfacing the data, maybe talking with a coworker. Shoot, even if you screenshot it to kind of help you get over it, that's fine. We're not looking to only improve your score. We want to improve your knowledge. And if by writing it down or kind of cheating a bit on it might help you, it's kind of like high school kids that maybe like write a little cheat sheet and then they do that and then they know it because they put the effort into doing it. So it's a similar consideration.
I love to write things down. Somehow mentally over all these years, David, Lola, I've said I can remember it better if I wrote it down. And if you're doing everything on your phone and you don't go to a side note or sheet of paper, screenshotting that thing may just be like writing it down. You're going home, you're at dinner, and he says, how come I can't get that right? And you keep looking at it, right? How come I can't get that right? Are you sending them the exact same question, David, or something a little different?
So it changes a bit. You know, so the core of the question would be the same. The distractors or the options could vary. But we also have a capability in the platform where users can flag feedback. They may want to challenge a question. They may think that technically there's room for improvement, or maybe they have some service information that conflicts with our diagnostic recommendation here. Or maybe just wording-wise, it wasn't clear to them. So users have the opportunity to flag questions for feedback, and then we can interact with them. It could range from, well, hey, let me send Lola some additional information on this because it's clear that there might be some help that's needed there. So we'll review somebody's profile when they submit that. On the other hand, we might say, whoa, Lola made an excellent point here. This particular process doesn't line up based on what she's saying, and we need to pull this down, rework it, and deliver it. I mentioned memories and learning are dynamic. Our content is dynamic too. We're not going to release it and just assume it's fine forever. It's getting stressed by thousands of users every day. They have opportunities to flag it and challenge it. Then we'll rework it and refine it over time. So while technically a question could be perfect and well executed and kind of remain in place for a long time, more often than not, there's tweaks that we implement over time that really refine it.
Well, you're just not a set it and forget it company. I mean, you're constantly tweaking and evolving and really leaning over your skis. I would love to see what your 3-year plan looks like. It would probably be like a kid in a candy store, all the stuff you're working on. Lola, current participation rate, employees are training 19.7 days per month. It's off the charts. How many people do you have? 5 or 6, or do you have like 10?
Oh, I have 5 techs that are training and 2 in service that are training. So 7 total.
I mean, that's huge. You got to stop and think for a moment. 19.7 days. And we were talking 8-hour days, David?
No. So what this means is that on average, Lola's team, so if you think about each one of those 7 folks, 19.7 out of the past 30 days, they're doing their training. So it's more like that level of consistency.
Not full days of training, but they're in it for 19.7 days or 20 out of 4 times, you know, almost. That's almost every day based on.
Yeah. And as she said, 4-day a week shop. So that, again, that level of consistency is key.
Got it. You also sent me some other information. I'd like you guys to discuss this knowledge impact stats. Me understand the brake power assist systems plus 16%. Where are you going with that?
Yeah. So what that means, so we measure everything. So some areas that I shared in our prep for this session was areas where we've seen big knowledge growth. So for example, our training approach heavily relies on a question-based learning approach. It's not just a quiz. We teach through the questions, but we will establish your baseline knowledge by, for example, asking you 10 questions about wheel alignment. If you go through those the first time and you get 6 out of 10 right, well, we've established your baseline at about 60%. The next round we go through, the next iteration, we're going to lean on those 4 things that you got wrong and see if you're starting to pick those up and learn from those either mistakes or maybe, you know, things that you needed to pick up. So we start to separate from where you are or where you were to where you are now. And that's where we see those knowledge growth numbers. So for Lola's team, again, we've seen 16% increase in brake power assist, 15% HVAC refrigeration systems, 13 wheel alignment, 10% EVAP, 9 in ignition system operation service. We also do technical training for service advisors. They're up 9% as well. So again, these numbers themselves, what does knowledge growth really mean? You know, is that something I can really embrace? Perhaps not. But what we're showing is that incremental improvement. And if we compare those, we can say, okay, here's the area that we're struggling in, or here's the area we've really improved. Are we seeing the operational benefit that we would expect from that? Are we having fewer comebacks in this area? Are we more efficient in this area? And if there's operationally areas that we struggle, we can aim the training at that to try to work on that area and overcome that limitation.
Think about an owner, Lola, wanting to invest in equipment, be it hard equipment or software equipment for HVAC systems coming up, thermal management today. And you see that the group is up 15%. We got it. I'm not going to buy something that's going to sit on the shelf. My people got this. It's a wonderful test. Or Yeah, that's a word I'm looking for, David. It's almost a confidence builder to invest because my people, they got this. We not only have this personal knowledge, we have the stuff that can support all of our work.
I mean, my team wants a new alignment machine. And this is the one of the things that I'm definitely looking at. I'm like, I'm putting in made to make sure that we're like actually discovering needs for alignment machines, but also that we're educating on it and that we are confident in it. Really, this has just dropped into another level of a metrics for us that we just put against all the other metrics when we're reporting. It's added quite a bit of value just on that side.
David, work with me on what she just said. We want to upgrade our alignment. And can she go to her dashboard and kick up alignment stuff so that she can get an evaluation in 30 days of her people that they got this? And so that investment's going to go skyrocket for her?
Yeah, there's a number of ways to it. So first, you could like look at the data right now. Where are we? Where did we start? Where are we now? Who's strong? Who's weak? And what specifically do they have difficulty with? Going a step further, if you say, well, hey, I really want to push this a bit further, a couple user level changes and say, all right, we're going to really focus on alignment. You know, for the month of November, we're going all in on alignment because we really want to inform this big decision that we're going to make. And what that would do is that from that daily training experience, it would shift everybody from maybe the blend of stuff they're on right now, make it very narrow. We're going to push them there, gather data, observe what's going on, see if we're improving. And again, we can use that data to inform other business decisions that need to be made.
I'm fascinated by this great discussion and the real world environment, Lola. You know, electrical people always say, if you don't have basic electric down, you're not going to go too far today. And I saw that Ohm's Law plus 8%, David, was on your list. And I find that when you go to classes, listen, the trainers out there see the same people in the class. They know what they're teaching. And they have these great classes nobody wants to show up for because it was said at basic electric. Say, oh, I know that. I get that. But everyone who said no to it should be in the class. And that's one of the things that I love about if it were just hammering Ohm's Law or basic electric, David, any shop benefits so greatly, not only in the gaps that exist, but in the training that comes with it. It's like the first thing you would want to do is kick everybody up about 10 notches in that.
Well, yeah. And I think that's one of the areas where, again, we intend to further collaborate with a lot of these instructors, because if you are hosting an electrical class and you have to spend the first hour working through Ohm's Law, imagine a world where we've prepared that audience for that and you can just jump to step two rather than working through those basics. So we think there's some advantages there. And again, some people are going to know it, right? So they don't want to go through that for the first hour. They've heard those explanations again and again. So that's where I think that combination of data, establishing a baseline for somebody and then bringing a good, consistent audience in can be really powerful.
You and Lola know so many people in the industry that are trainers. And I've had a chance of late to speak to a bunch of them. And David, you're close to all of them. I wish I could have assessed the people that were in here because I've got this great, if you will, B-level class. And I got all these C's that are in here. So in order for them to catch up, I've got to go back a little bit, pull out a few more slides, and the people that were here for the mid-range class aren't going to get as much as they expected. Everyone wants to have that level of knowledge in that room based where they are and why they're there. I don't doubt one day that today's class is going to be a precursor to attending my class, as an example, if I was a electrical trainer.
Yeah. And our hope would be that would make it, so Lola, for example, if that gave you confidence to say, all right, well, look, I know this class matches where this person is, it is now easier for me perhaps to stroke that check to send my team to go because I've got that good a fit and it's well aligned. And I think there's good opportunity to do that, to the benefit of the shops and the employees.
So Lola, how long have you been on today's class?
I think, was it June or July?
June.
Not yep. that long,
yeah.
really.
Yeah, not that long.
Whoa. Was it an easy decision?
Oh, yeah, it was. I had spoken, I think, to Jim Kokonis about it in North Carolina at one point.
That sums that up.
Yeah. And he was like, listen, you're a shop that needs this. And I was like, okay. And that's basically how that went. So we were like signed up.
Okay. And so you took Jim blindly for this and continues to prove that it was a really good move.
Yeah. Well, I think he's smart. And, you know, if smart people tell you to do something, you should probably listen. You know, I still did the trial. There's a very long onboarding situation for them to make sure that they like you and you're the right shop for them. It's not just let me sign up and take classes. There was a whole thing. You know, finally, we all decided we were a good fit for each other. And I saw the value immediately because I believe in small chunk continual learning. So it was a no-brainer for me.
Well, good for you, Lola, and good for you, David. There was a little discussion before we flipped on the microphones about some kind of gamification thing and awards. Tell us about that.
When they told me they could gamify it and we would get like points, I have a whole shop of gamers. So I knew that they were immediately going to be on board with this. So when I told him, hey, you have the opportunity to win some prizes, like we can do this as a shop, or I can look at it as the shops that we're up against, because we're like against, you can see other shops too. They decided they would like to do something internally, but long-term like to do have an external goal as well. So the first month I was like, what do you guys want? Like, do you want individual prizes? So 1 month we bought a big cooler, then we did a gift certificate. And then they came to me and they were like, we want a team gift that everybody can just share and we can like fight over. So I was like, okay, well, I don't know what that would be. And they brought me this idea of like, they brought me a website of a boxing belt and they wanted it customized. So it says like Schmidt Auto Care. Then it says like undisputed champion of today's class winner. And it's blue and gold or blue and silver. It's so awesome. And so it hangs over the toolbox or the service person that wins. And my service manager won last month and he wore it out into the shop every day when he would just walk around. And my techs were so mad. They were like, so there will he'll never win again. They're like determined to beat him now. But you know, you have to make it fun, right? Like make it a little worthwhile, make it fun. Give him something to talk about.
I love it. She also said other shops. So David, you can choose, I guess, as an owner to have a buddy who's also in today's class to do some comparative analysis?
Yeah, so it's funny. It rolls back to this points competition, at least at default. But yeah, you can, whether it's a 20 group or you're in a group of auto care shops or similar, we can carve it out in different ways. But yeah, the idea is, as Lola said, if this can be fun, all the better. That individual competition often triggers a lot of folks to get engaged. But if Lola's got a buddy that she says, hey, we got to beat that shop, basically, it's a shop average score. And whether it's bragging rights or betting a lunch on it or whatever it is, a traveling trophy, we've seen different things. There's another customer of ours that does the championship belt approach, but it goes from shop to shop based on who wins. So there's a lot of different aspects like that, but we're trying to bring in other elements of this to just drive that engagement up. The more a team is talking about it, the more a team is competing with it, the end result of that is they're going to be learning more. They're going to be talking about it more. We should see as, you know, meaningful benefits down the road, whether that is technical or whether that's just engagement and employee retention and so forth, and that feeling of culture within the shop itself.
Look, this was a fascinating walk down the aisle of today's class with Lola explaining how it's been working for her for only, 4 or 5 months? And that she's got this really cool belt as the monthly award. That must be the top point getter, right? Is that how that works? The top point getter. I love it. Lola, or Laura Lee Schmidt, I have to get used to, I know Lola, but I also like Laura Lee. And I guess that's where Lola came.
You can call me whatever you would like to call me. I'll answer.
Just don't call you late for dinner, right? Schmidt's Auto Care, Springboro, Ohio, along with husband Eric and David Boyce, CEO of today's class, sponsor of this podcast. You know, we have just launched our own listening app. Scan that app, that QR code in the top if you're watching on video. It'll go right to our app page and download it. You are going to absolutely fall in love with how cool we've been working on this thing for about a year. So thanks for listening. We are now the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. We've rebranded that too. Lots of really cool, fun things. A lot of great shows. Hunt Demarest, Matt Fonslow, Kim and Brian Walker, Craig O'Neill, Coach Chris Cotton are all on the show. Please get that thing and get your episodic education. David, Lola, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive repair business podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Get your episodic education on the ARPN listening app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. Also, enjoy the podcast on our Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. Carm is all for advancing the professional automotive service industry. Until next time.